If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Warning, you're about to enter the arena and join the battle to save America with your host, John Parnell.
What's up, Battle Crew? It is it's Thursday. Welcome to Battleground Live. I am your host, New York Times bestselling author, combat veteran, but more important than both of those two things, I am a humble servant of America. And welcome to all the new members of the Battle Crew today who are in the live chat. I am laughing as the show went live today because of Savage Rich. He's putting out Savage stuff on Twitter/X and being his Savage self. And I can't help but laugh because he can't hold anything back. But listen, it's a great day to be an American and from sea to shining sea. And everybody in between, welcome, Patriots. Got a huge show for you today. We've got Savage Rich in the arena. Savage Rich is the director of Big Data Poll, and he's the host of Inside the Numbers. He doesn't need an introduction on this show. You all know exactly who he is. And I'm going to talk right off the top about Lawfare and how it's run amok. We're going to talk about the Trump immunity case in front of the SCOTUS, which I think is probably the most important case that this group of Supreme Court justices has ever heard. And I'm going to tell you why. Talk again, Biden and the Department of Justice and NARA and all of these deep state organizations, they're definitely colluding and working together behind the scenes, which to me speaks to a much larger criminal conspiracy. Where are the Republicans paging any Republicans with a spine willing to fight back? Obviously, when Savage Rich gets here, we're going to take a deep dive inside the numbers in the Pennsylvania primary and dispel some myths that are out there. And union workers in New York, did you see this today? They just went absolutely nuts for President Trump at 6:30 in the morning. The man is unstoppable. Okay, so let's just jump right in. Before I really get to some of the headlines of the day, and we're going to talk about all that with Savage Rich. In fact, I might even bring I can see him in the virtual green room right now as we prep for the show. I might just bring him on early and have him join the discussion early. But Savage Rich told me that he was a lawn guy too. And I want to put this up there. This is from my locals. So if you're not following me on locals, I'm a complete noob over there and figuring it out. But Commander Melanie posted on our chat. And what you're seeing here, that is Pups McGee. That is my dog, Pups McGee. She is running with a soccer ball in her mouth. And we live in a farm on Western Pennsylvania. And you see all those dandelions that are popping up all over the grass right there? I mean, Pups McGee doesn't care about the dandelions. But you know who does care about the dandelions? I care about the dandelions. And you know what? I didn't realize that I was going to ignite a firestorm of controversy when I talked about my war with the dandelions here in Fort Parnell. We've got 13 acres. I've got to cut about 5 or 6. Some of you all were like, why aren't you having your kids use a push mower? I mean, believe me, when I tell you, I completely agree with you on that. But cutting the land that we have here with a push mower might take 6 days. So we might get to that point with my kids if they, you know, push me in the wrong direction or make me mad. They might be out there push mowing the grass for 6 days. But my point is, these dandelions, they grow fueled by my hate and hate alone. I just cut the grass 5 days ago, and you saw them right there. They're sprouting up. Okay. They're relentless. It's like they're always watching me. I wake up in the morning, I look outside, the sun's up in the sky, and they're all looking out the window and they're all staring at me. It's like they've grown 8 inches overnight or something like that. It's absolutely insane. So there's that. But yes, folks, I do realize that dandelions have value. And there are lots of women who wrote to me saying this, saying that, you know, dandelions are pretty, they're nutritious, they actually provide nutrients to the lawn. And I can appreciate that, but I don't care. You know, if you ask my parents, they would tell you one of the first 10 words for me, one of the first 10 words that I said, one of those words was lawn mowing. I swear to God, I've been obsessed with cutting the grass since I was little. There's something about lawn maintenance that is just woven into the fabric of my soul, and I despise these dandelions. So yes, I read all your comments. I saw your feedback, and I learned a thing or two, and I'm very grateful for your feedback, but my opinion remains unchanged. So I had to tell you about that. Okay, let me just tell you real quickly, because we got lots of things going on. Yeah, about with the lawfare, and then we'll bring Savage Rich on. But you got the classified docs case down in Florida, and Judge Cannon, and Julie Kelly has been just extraordinary in her reporting on this topic. In fact, she's one of the only, outside of a couple of real strong conservative voices, she's one of the few that has just been fantastic in her reporting. Anyone with half a brain could tell you from the very beginning, when Biden launched the first salvo of lawfare, that Biden, the Department of Justice, and all of these institutions were conspiring behind the scenes to go after Trump. Otherwise, why bring the case when they did? They waited for Trump to declare, went after him. They timed it at the exact time that the guy was going to be running for president of the United States. Otherwise, they would have brought it when he left office in 2021, right? But they waited, and they did it for a strategic reason, and that's for election interference. But any of us that have been paying attention, and any of us that can think critically, and any of us who know how the Democrats really are, well, we know that, of course, they're pulling the strings behind the scenes. But after Julie Kelly's reporting over the last couple of days, there can be no doubt. There is now empirical proof of this happening. Because Judge Cannon, again, this is down in Florida, she has been unredacting, which, listen, I don't know if that's even a word, but she's been adding a layer of transparency to the case down there that is, I think, necessary. Because I think that Judge Cannon knows how corrupt this process is, and she knows that sunlight is the best disinfectant. And so she's exposing Jack Smith, the beady-eyed little freak commie prosecutor, who literally looks like a villain from Star Wars. Like George Soros, that guy looks like the Emperor from Star Wars. You know, Jack Smith, little beady-eyed little freak, looks like he could be a lackey of one of the emperors. He's definitely on the dark side of the force. But he's clearly has sinister intentions here. And what has been made very clear is that the DOJ, Joe Biden, the Biden administration, along with Jack Smith, along with the DOJ, along with NARA, and NARA is the National Archives and Records Administration, they were coordinating behind the scenes to get Trump. And that's clear. There's a paper trail now. And so it stands to reason that if they are coordinating, colluding, conspiring behind the scenes about what's happening in Florida, then they're likely doing it everywhere else. Lawfare is a strategy that people use to harass their political opponents, to harass people, tie them down in the court. So yesterday, you have in Michigan, Trump and his legal team, they were named unindicted co-conspirators in Michigan with the fake elector scheme, which really there's no such thing as fake electors. It's actually a constitutional process that people use during a hotly contested election. It's going all the way back to the 1800s and prominently in 1960 and Nixon versus Kennedy in Hawaii. It's something that people have done for a long time. It's the constitutional process that people use to contest elections. So I reject the language of the fake electors thing, but there was that in Michigan. And then Arizona, after the show last night, this Arizona Attorney General, who, by the way, barely won, use the term loosely, by something like 280 votes, indicts a grand jury, indicts 18 Trump supporters, Trump himself as well. And so of those people, she's got, you know, Trump, she got Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, Boris Epstein, Mike Roman, as well as Arizona's 11 Republican electors. Tyler Bauer, national committeeman for Arizona and head of Turning Point Action. I mean, you see what's happening here, right? This is lawfare. So if Biden is colluding and conspiring in Florida, which is clear, then it stands to reason he's also colluding and conspiring in D.C. He's also colluding and conspiring in New York with Fat Tish and Pudge Alvin, and also colluding and conspiring with Big Fanny down in Florida. And I guarantee you the same is true in Michigan and Arizona. So the reason why I'm saying this is this narrative in the media that there's no evidence that Biden is involved. Well, there's just no evidence that Joe Biden is involved in any of this. In fact, the government is working exactly as it should. Nothing could be further from the truth. And so I think, look, it's beyond a reasonable doubt now that Biden is behind the scenes pulling the strings. And election interference is a crime. And the reason why I'm going this direction with it is that, like, during the 2020 election, states and Democrat officials violated election law, flagrantly violated election law. Now they said it was, oh, there was an emergency, there was a pandemic, there was COVID, and they were doing the best that we could. No, but the law is the law, and they violated it. They made unilateral changes to the law, and that shook people's faith in the way that we conduct elections here in this country. And people on our side rightly said, hey, that's not right. And they fought for election integrity. So the people that broke the law are not being held accountable. The people that are trying to right the ship and fix our elections are being attacked, threatened with years in prison, with federal indictments, because they tried to fight for election integrity. I mean, think about that for a second, because I think, again, sometimes that gets lost in the sauce here. The only, like, I challenged an election in Pennsylvania. It wasn't, there was no electors or anything like that involved. I challenged the constitutionality of a law because nothing made sense in 2020. It was a disaster. But Democrat governor, Democrat attorney general in Pennsylvania, they broke the law. So it's the responsibility of American patriots and Republicans who hold elected office to fight for this stuff. But the Biden administration is going after them. And the reason why they're going after them is to shut them up. And oh, by the way, on the same day that the Michigan and the Arizona indictments happened, there was a swing state poll announced that had Trump winning in all swing states by a not statistically insignificant margin. So all of this is political. And of course, the SCOTUS was hearing the immunity case today. And this is the last thing I say before we get to Rich, but I think the Supreme Court, at least it appears, and I talked to Savage Rich about this prior to the show, it appears they are inclined to uphold immunity, at least for official acts. And I think much of the argument, because I listened to the argument today, was between official immunity for the official acts of president and acts that were private. Right, like in his private personal life. I think it's generally agreed upon that a president is not immune completely, especially for decisions that he makes after he's in office or in his private life, right? But I think the Supreme Court's coming down on Trump's side here. I think it's going to be remanded back to Judge Chutkan, Democrat judge in the D.C. Circuit. And when this happens, they're going to have a debate then at that point and at the trial court level about what was an official act and what wasn't. That's going to take months. This case ain't getting heard before the November election. That much I guarantee you. But if the Supreme Court does uphold immunity, even if it's just for official acts, it totally guts Jack Smith's initial charges, or his case against Trump, and Big Fanny down in Georgia as well. It might even have repercussions for Pudge Alvin, even though it's a state. It's a weird. You have a state prosecutor arguing a federal crime. I don't know how all that works, but if you have immunity for official acts, I mean, Trump won the presidency in 2016. So I don't know. All this is complicated, but it seems like things are going in the right direction. And the reason why this is important, the reason why I think this is the most important Supreme Court case that's going to be heard, certainly among the people that are sitting on the bench right now, is because President, Democrat or Republican, doesn't have immunity for the things that he does while in office. It will completely destroy the office of the presidency. And if it completely destroys the office of the presidency, I think it will ultimately end up destroying the country, because you're going to have presidents who are afraid to make a decision that is based on what they believe is best for the American people, our country, we the people. And yeah, look, I get it. Biden sucks. He's a terrible president. I think he's destroying the country. Would it be better if he was hamstrung and not able to make decisions? I mean, selfishly, probably yes. But I think generally speaking, the precedent here, if the Supreme Court doesn't rule with Trump, would be terrible for our country. I mean, every time a president left office, you could expect them to be charged. Think about this. If the Supreme Court doesn't side with Trump, then most certainly Obama could be charged with capital murder for drone striking American citizens, one of whom was a minor. I mean, certainly Joe Biden could be charged for allowing our immigration law to be violated and about 10 million illegal aliens coming into this country, invading this country, and then committing crimes against the American people. Certainly Dick Cheney could be indicted for lying about weapons of mass destruction. So Liz Cheney, all the shit talking that you do against President Trump, I mean, this could implicate you as well. So my point is that there are far-reaching implications of this. It's not just even about Trump. I think it hurts our country if the Supreme Court doesn't come down on the right side of this. Although, again, having watched it, it looks like they will.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Okay, so let's pivot back to this. We've got Savage Rich on deck. Let's bring him in and get his thoughts on all this crazy Lawfare stuff. Savage Rich, welcome, my friend. It's good to see you.
Hey, brother. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I see that you're not wearing pastel colors today, which I have to say I'm a little disappointed about.
You know, it's just, you know what these are, actually? And it's I get them for, like, Christmas and stuff or some, like, special occasion. You know the sock company Bamba?
I don't, but I have a feeling you're about to tell me.
I am. They're awesome, but they're expensive, you know, like kind of for socks, you know, and they also have shirts and other things. And I had seen the commercial, and Laura usually gets me like a few pairs of Bombas every Christmas in my
stuff. It sounds like women's underwear. I'm not going to lie.
No, man, I'm telling you, you try one of these shirts, you never.
You better not be wearing lacy underwear.
I'm telling you,
you better not be doing it.
I'm not feeling like a woman here, but I'm telling you, it's super cozy. I am feeling like a shirt is giving me a big old beautiful hug. It's a great shirt. Okay. You know, yeah, I got a couple of them, but yeah, no pastel colors. They're like, this one's blue. I got a green one. I got a red one, you know, the man earth tone kind of thing.
Okay. So what do you think? What do you think about all this Lawfare stuff? I mean, you heard my intro. This is clearly being coordinated.
Yeah.
The Biden administration wants to say, oh, look, we're hands off. This process is working just as it should. You even have people like Dana Bash and the legacy media stopping Republicans like Governor Kristi Noem saying, I'm sorry. There's just no evidence that Biden is connected to any of this.
But there is now. But
now there is.
John Solomon. And by the way, this is why one of the reasons Catherine Herridge got the can, bro. They wanted, for people who don't know what happened to Catherine Herridge, similar to what happened to Cheryl Atkinson, only even worse because the state has gotten more and more emboldened. They wanted her sources. They wanted to hunt down and chill out her sources. She refused to give them to him. So what did they do? Like fascists, because this is the economic definition of fascism, they use their connections and their power and influence over CBS to go after her and get rid of her. And then once that was done, it became the property of CBS. So she's fighting as saying, no, it's not. It's mine. Those are my sources and I'm protecting them as an individual journalist. Scary stuff. But now, of course, there is evidence. First of all, anyone who was waiting around for black and white evidence is either a liar or somebody who just fell off the turnip truck yesterday. I mean, there's there is no serious world. There's no serious scenario, Sean, where this wasn't completely coordinated. You had the number three guy at the Justice Department leave to go prosecute a case with Alvin Bragg that nobody wanted to touch, not Robert Mueller, not the Southern District of New York, on and on and on. Not even, by the way, Merrick Garland and others that were, you know, looking at this. And then that's separate from the documents case, which is another novel legal theory, which is to do with the Federal Records Act, which is nuts. The president is the president. He has the right to classify or declassify whatever the hell he wants. This is like black and white, folks. You don't have to be a lawyer to understand it. By the way, Hillary Clinton, she was never president. Biden, he was never president. They get away with it because they're Democrats. End of story. But now we have John Solomon here, and I'll just read you the headline. I mean, the guy got the goods. It's a wrap. I mean, not like you ever did. Anyone ever really need these documents to prove it? You talked about the timing, Sean. They could have prosecuted him for any number of these crimes 3 years ago. They decided to do it now because this is about election interference. It's about bankrupting him so he can't campaign. It's about taking up his schedule so he can't campaign. It's about hurting him politically, hoping indictments, 91 counts over and over and over will somehow mean something to the independent voter who doesn't give a damn. All right. So unsealed docs expose early collaboration between the archives, Biden White House in the Trump prosecution. And just read it. I mean, go on justthenews.com. Why? Because it's John Solomon. The documents aren't real. They're real. This is it. And who would ever believe in the Alvin Bragg case, some schmuck would leave? Sean, these people worked their entire careers to get to the number three spot in the Justice Department.
And he takes a demotion. He's actually being paid less to go take a job to work with Pudge Alvin to prosecute.
Why would you do that?
There's no reason to do that, especially with these disgusting government employees. By the way, I'm not going after government employees here, right? At writ large, but I am saying that these people, a lot of these political appointees, and this Compagnello guy, they climb the political ladder every greasy rung. So it is unbelievable to me that he, the number three at the
give it up,
to go down to New York with Pudge Alvin and prosecute a case that no one thought is a crime. That, by the way, happened damn near over a decade ago.
Sean, it's they crazy. Still don't know what they're going to do to tie a crime into this case. You understand they're taking this case forward without yet having, at least not publicly stating it, or it's not been revealed. Nobody who is a serious legal scholar can figure this out. We've been down this road with John Edwards. We've been down this road before. It doesn't fly because this is not a crime. Number one. Number two, they need Michael Cohen to make this work. I mean, everyone needs to understand what happened with the Southern District of New York and Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller, when he was the special counsel, was trying to look for someone to squeeze to get something on Donald Trump. He rifled through Michael Cohen's financials and found that Michael Cohen is a liar who overinflated the value of his medallion taxi cabs that, by the way, he put in his wife's name to get loans against those medallion taxi cabs. It was, of course, completely fraudulent. He promised that he would lock his wife up for 30 years if he did not do something to give him Donald Trump. I know his old neighbor. We were intimately familiar with this story at the time it happened. I know of private conversations he's had with people, and he explained exactly what happened to him. Anyway, the problem was Michael Cohen's a liar, and Michael Cohen was trying to save his wife and himself to the point. And he also, quote, hated Donald Trump with the fire of 1,000 suns or something. I'd have to go back and look at the direct quote that he said, because he felt that he should have got White House chief of staff, and that because Trump did not take him into the White House and give him a job. I kid you not, ladies and gentlemen, I swear to you, this is the truth, because he did not give him the job, that he left him exposed to these people. So he felt betrayed by Donald Trump. So he decided he was going to, quote, get Trump at all costs. And of course, especially if it saved him and his wife from prosecution. Anyway, Mueller tried to work with him on a million different things. They caught him in lie after lie after lie. Eventually, Mueller kicks it to the Southern District of New York and says, or really, it was Andrew Weissman. You should know, Andrew, you go on MSNBC every damn night. You should tell this story and be an honest person for once in your miserable existence. Yeah, and then they kick it to the SDNY. They look at it. They try to dig into some of the claims he said. It's all fab, including this one. Including this claim, Sean. So, you know, they just brought this up now because they have nothing else.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Oh,
it's,
can I just real quick? I'm sorry.
Yes. Go. Yes.
I want to just agree with you with what you were saying with the Supreme Court. It appears the Supreme Court, it's, you know, I don't think it's going to be like the Colorado case, the ballot access case, but it does appear that at least a majority of level-headed court justices are thinking about the presidency post Donald Trump. If the president is not given immunity, the office will fall apart. It's that simple.
Well, I completely agree. And so you and I are on the same page about that. So
at least limited, like you said, at least limited.
I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously.
I think Sean is gone. He's going to click back in here. So you know what? This is about to be the People's Pundit Show. Oh, yeah. I don't have a sponsor reads. He'll click back on. I could tell his internet was going. But I just want to reiterate what he was saying anyway. And I think I'm on the air, so I'm just going to roll with this and talk about it. But because he will come back on. But at least as it deals with – he just texted me. What the – at least as it deals with the acts, the president, official acts – that they took while they are in the office of the president. If the president does not have presidential immunity, then, you know, it's like one of the worst things Nixon ever said. I'm saying if the president does it, it's not illegal. That was the worst way that Nixon could put it. But what Nixon was saying was 100% true. And Nixon gets a real bad rap He gets a real bad rap. He was right. Nixon was right. And by the way, Justice Gorsuch brought up Nixon versus Fitzgerald in today's oral arguments. Hey, welcome back to your own show, buddy. I told you, I'm just going to roll with it before
you
come back.
You did. I mean, I don't, these cyber attacks are, it's like, I don't know what to do with them, but look, I told people like, we're just going to keep rolling.
I have some ideas for you actually, though. We just haven't gotten a chance to talk about them. I do have some ideas.
It's like, it's absolutely terrible, man. It's normally when we have, when we're talking about stuff like this as well, which crazy. And it's when you and I, a lot of it has to do with you and I doing the show together, I think as well. I mean, like we've had a couple of issues when I was on your show and now this issue when you're back here on mine. Yep. It's just crazy. But I mean, it is what it is. We're not going to stop. You know, we're just going to keep rolling. Can we pivot to Pennsylvania?
Yes.
There's a lot of people freaking out, especially a lot of the doomsayers and, you know, the pundits who like to bloviate, who think that they know and understand these numbers. They are talking about a couple things. Republican turnout being unbelievably low, which yesterday on the show I said, you know, there were very few, almost no contested primaries on the Republican side. Contested primaries drive turnout. So president is set. The Senate race is set. Almost every congressional is set, except for maybe one, I think, in PA 7. And all that we had here in Pennsylvania, at least on the Republican side, were state House and state Senate races that drove turnout in their locations. But that's, as you know, is not really a major driver. So there's that. People freaking out about the turnout. And the second thing was this Nikki Haley vote. Oh, Nikki Haley got 16% of the vote. Oh, look at all the votes she's going to get. And, you know, what's Trump's going to lose because of that, essentially.
Yeah, listen, I mean, we get it. And we did this on the show. What's today? Thursday. We did this Wednesday on the show. Like, it's like I wanted to play this. Remember Digital Underground, all around the world, same song. It's like every damn election, it's the same song. Like do the Humpty Hump or something different for once and crying out loud. I'm telling you, every election, they don't understand the dynamic between the early vote and the election day vote. There was only one day of actual early voting. But here's the deal. You know, bottom line, I do think, because I'm going to preface this by saying, I do think it did at least show that the lawfare for primary season can have an impact, because I do think if he was like in Wilkes-Barre, if he was in Allegheny or running around, he would have gotten a higher turnout. He could have juiced it higher. But here's the real truth. And if you bear with me, I have the numbers over here, right? So I just want to make sure I get it right. First of all, a memo went out. Maybe it was not shared with the greater public, but there are write-in votes that in many news outlets were being automatically added to Biden's official total, even though, as you know, they are not done counting. And those likely will not all be for Biden. And in fact, the estimate is that about, let me just grab it real quick. So I have it. I just want to make sure I'm right. Just under 5% are write-ins, all right? So some of them will be allocated to Biden. Some of them will not be. With that taken in mind, he's around 90%, a little bit less, actually. So keep that in mind. And before I get into the history of the turnout, I have to say this, like, and so everyone understands the context. Just because Donald Trump is a sitting president, I mean, a former president, does not mean he is a sitting president. So there is very different standards and very different expectations. And you may be shocked to hear this, but the media holds Donald Trump to very different and inaccurate standards when it comes to all of this stuff, because it's about narrative for them. It's not about the truth. The truth is Donald Trump actually performed a little bit better than Joe Biden did when he was running unopposed. Basically, Bill Well was on the ballot, right? You had nonsense, Matt Walsh, I think, or something. No, it was Delafuente who ended up being an independent. And yet, come November, Donald Trump supposedly still lost the state. Then there's the other thing. In 2020, when Joe Biden was running and he was the presumptive nominee already in the state of Pennsylvania, he did worse than Trump did on Tuesday. He got 79.3% of the vote. Bernie Sanders got 18 and Tulsi Gabbard got 2.7, just about 3% of the vote. Why? So what? That's pretty comparable, Rich. No, it's not. Trump outperformed that on Tuesday. And here's the real kicker. Bernie Sanders was out of the race for 2 months.
Yeah.
2 months.
I know.
Tulsi Gabbard quit in March before the primary. This thing was over for months, and yet he still performed that poorly. Why? Because when you're a sitting president, and why did Trump do so much better when he was a sitting? When you are sitting president and you're the real true, you are the leader and the banner holder for the party, you have control over so much more than just even a presumptive leader or a nominee. No, you honestly, and I'm trying to be nice here, you can make someone's life a living effing hell, Sean, if they go against you. All right. So you can bury them. And that apparatus extends out into the grassroots. It extends out to whoever, you know, they get out and turn out to vote in these primaries. And people have to remember, again, that the primary electorate is going to be the most resistance-filled, if you want to call it resistance-prone electorate that you're going to get. The general electorate is going to be much more Trumpy when you're seeing all these people who are lower propensity or no propensity voters that come out for general presidential elections. So, and by the way, as far as turnout goes, in truth, Democrat turnout fell more than Republican turnout fell. And I'm talking about from 2020 over to 2024 and as far as 22 even, which was a midterm. We saw Democratic returns of absentee ballots actually down a bit when Republican ballot returns were up slightly. So it's a load of they're holding him to a standard that's not real. They're fabricating the standard. Just because he's a former president does not mean we should hold him to the standard, even in a primary where he's a presumptive nominee as a sitting president. We didn't hold it to Biden. We didn't hold it to you know, Hillary Clinton, even when she had it locked down. And nobody seriously argued because Joe Biden only got, what, 80 less. It was less. It was like 79% of the vote, 78%. Yes. Just because Joe Biden got 78% of the vote when he was already the presumptive nominee, nobody was seriously arguing that Pennsylvania wasn't going to be a battleground state. And truth be told, looking at the totality of all of this, I'm telling you, because you're not, you got to take into consideration the I did not vote in 2020 and the low propensity voter. And that gives, I do think, looking at all of this in its totality, Trump has a slight edge. It's not a big edge, but it's just pretty much as our polling says, Trump plus two. You know, I mean, that's it, which is, you know, I mean, it's not easy to win Pennsylvania by two.
You know, so. It's really difficult.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
So I want to ask you a question. Somebody in the live chat asked in the lead up to the show, and I think it's a good question, Rich. And
yeah.
I'll preface it by saying this. I have been very upset with the Republican Party recently. You ask it. I want to talk to you about this Axios poll and how the vast majority of Americans want the border secure. The vast majority of Americans support mass deportations, including something like 42% of Democrats.
Yeah.
And so, but yet the border's still open. Illegals are still coming here, and invaders are still coming across our border. It's like illegals are still undercutting middle class wages.
Yep.
The problem's not solved. And this has been a problem for a very long time, but you've got Republicans who had they had the ability to make sure that components of HR 2 were in this budget overhaul, yet it didn't get done. And they could have used it as leverage. Hey, listen,
of course.
You give us some on the border, maybe we'll fund Ukraine. I mean, I don't support funding Ukraine. I'd rather have a diplomatic, peaceful solution.
They have a one vote majority.
One vote majority. Exactly right. But it didn't get done, and it didn't get done because they didn't want it to happen, Rich.
Yeah,
and
they don't. It's
frustrating to me because the Republican Party just they're missing the moment, man, in a real big way. It seems like they lack leadership. I question Mike Johnson. It feels like he's either compromised or just stupid. And I say that I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the Speaker of the House, but he's either compromised or he's just stupid or he's working with the Democrats. I don't know. And so my question is, are you seeing any evidence of people out there in whether it's in Pennsylvania or elsewhere, of people saying screw the Republican Party?
Listen, we did a whole show on Monday about whether Mike Johnson was becoming a liability, and it's not because it's pile on Mike Johnson day. He put himself in front of that microphone. He makes himself the leader of the Republican Party. He basically made some proclamation like he's the next Abe Lincoln or Winston Churchill or something. It's ridiculous. So if you take that mantle, you have to understand that people are going to look at you and you are now part of that brand. So when you go to that microphone and you screw over your own base, when you go to that microphone and you screw over the voter who was thinking of voting for you this time around, you know, the new normie, maybe who's going to, this is the opportunity to bring them into the fold for, you know, an election. They're not going to come out in a midterm. And by the way, they're not going to come out for one of your guys. This is a unique opportunity to get these people with Donald Trump as your nominee, and you do this. I mean, look, here's the kicker. And this is why people never understand when we pull a state like Pennsylvania, how we can come up with a Trump lead and yet Democrats leading on the generic ballot, for instance, which we did, right? And Dave McCormick, I think he's got a better shot than the polls are showing right now. But right now, he's just the generic Republican to people. They're not really paying attention, right? He didn't win the primary last time. They don't know him that well. They'll get to know him, and then we'll see. Mm-hmm. But that's the way it is right now. And he's being basically just like painted as a generic Republican. And this is what people always say to me, Rich, how could these people in Western Pennsylvania, how could these people in Northeastern Pennsylvania tell you they're going to vote for Trump and then tell you they're probably going to vote for a Democrat in Congress? How could that be? Because they're partisans and they don't understand what these people, how they think. They don't understand that Republicans don't have their loyalty at all costs like they have yours because you're a partisan voter. These people look at the Republican Party and say, you know what? If they weren't frauds, this would have gotten done when Donald Trump was president last time. We hear that all the time. Exactly. If the Republican Party, like we know Trump wants to get immigration under control. And we hear this a lot, by the way, from non-whites, okay? Which is really bad. White working class and non-whites. We know Donald Trump wants to protect our wages. We know Donald Trump wants to secure the border. But why the hell did Republicans do everything in their power to stop him when he was president last time? Like, this is what they don't understand, how badly that hurts the image of the party. And that, you know, it stops people from saying, I'm a Republican when a pollster calls, you know, and that's an issue, brother. That is never going to get better until the party gets better. And
Rich,
they stop screwing over their own people.
It's a mindset. It's a culture thing. I don't know. I mean, it just requires bold, decisive leadership and the ability to communicate that vision. And not only that, but understanding where the country is. Think about it like this. I was thinking about this today. Everything that's happening in Arizona with this attorney general, who, by the way, won by 280 votes and literally won by suing to stop.
Yep. Like he's got a mandate or something.
From being, yeah, Abe Hamadeh, a Republican, should be the attorney general in Arizona. But so she sues, disenfranchises all these Republicans, wins a razor close race. But this is my point, is she's indicting all of these Republicans in a swing state, Rich. And you look at Republican mindset in swing states, what do they say? They say, I got to work with Democrats in order to win. We got to, people have to see us as crossing the aisle. People have to see us as being pragmatic and moderate. The Democrats don't think like that. They're going after people in Michigan and Arizona. Something with Republicans just ain't right now, man. And it, you know, instead of, you know, Trump is being persecuted in New York politically. I mean, seriously, on some trumped up bullshit. They think about that. A local prosecutor and a local Democrat judge are keeping President Trump off the campaign trail in the most, in what could be the most important election of our lives. And I know that's said often, but I think this election is. This is a local DA and a local prosecutor that are threatening to disenfranchise the whole country. And Mike Johnson, rather than speaking out on that, goes to Columbia and tells the pro-terrorist sympathizer kids to be nice to one another.
Yeah, you actually responded because I looked at your message and, you know, I went to your Twitter feed to look at how you responded to the tweet Mike Cernovich responded to when it came to Eric Erickson, saying, you know, there's this group of people on the right who want to use power if they get power. It's like, whoa, what a novel concept. They're missing the moment, man. I mean, they're missing the moment. These are the people who are going to like what? Be nice as they walk into the gulag, shake their hand. The Jeff Sessions idiot. Thank you, my friends across the aisle. I mean, look, this is the mentality. If you guys want to know the mentality Sean and I are talking about, go back and look at Jeff Sessions' confirmation hearing. These are people who served with him for years in the U.S. Senate, and they turned on him like rabid dogs, accused him of all sorts of things. Basically accused him of would be committing crimes and the behest of Donald Trump. And he kept referring to them as, come on now, my friends across the aisle. You're my friends across the aisle. Exactly. He's an idiot. These people will get filleted and thank the Democrats for filleting them while it's going on. So they just, Sean, you're right in your response, which is what I'm coming back to here. The Republicans are missing the moment. And Republicans were in a position of authority and certainly in a position where they're having an impact on the brand of the Republican Party. They're the ones who don't understand the moment they are in. And Mike Johnson gets up there and acts like he does. And this is like a new Pearl Harbor moment or the Civil War. He's making all these crazy, he's drawing all these crazy parallels to, you know, himself and, you know, Lincoln. And I mean, just nuts. That is not the moment we're in. And we're in the moment of, and you just said, it feels like, you know, we say this every election, but it is true. We keep saying this is the most important election because we're in a declining situation, right? And every year it is more and more, true that particular election is the most important election. You understand what I mean by that, folks?
Like, yes,
because things are getting worse every year. It's accelerating too every year. The most important. Listen to this. And I don't know if you saw this tweet, but I wanted to pack everything together. Economic growth. This is all this week. Economic growth took a dive even lower than where it was under Obama. When they told us to suck it up, it was the new normal. Mm-hmm. Median home prices have skyrocketed to a new record high, which is pricing out most normal buyers from the market, especially first-time buyers, because not only is that happening, but because it's not worth it, they're not worth it. But mortgage rates are also now exceeding 7%, which for most Americans who have an average credit score around 650, 670, which is the average actually in this country, ballpark high sixes, that puts them out of the range of being able to be approved by the bank. So who's buying up all these things? By the way, these are investor properties. Like, you know, they're being bought up by like hedge funds and becoming more like REITs almost. It's crazy. Anyway, all of this is going on, you know, a stale labor force participation, increased part-time employment, increased work weeks because there are more part-time employment trying to make something out of a bunch of nothing jobs. And then all the while, the U.S. fertility rate fell to an all-time low. I just named and rattled off a bunch of stats, Sean, that are very difficult to reverse, and they're not the statistics of a healthy, robust, thriving, prosperous nation. Those are stats from a dying nation. Those are stats for a nation in decline. And that's why it feels that way every year, because every year it's more and more true.
It's interesting. It's interesting. And you're right, because the American dream is dying for the younger generation. Yeah. The kids are graduating from college. They're saddled with debt. I mean, I know Biden's forgiving their debt, whatever that means, but they're priced out of buying a home. They're going to be perpetual renters. They're going to rent things their whole life. They're going to live in the pod, eat the bugs, and be happy, which is what the Democrats and the World Economic Forum want for them. And honestly, Rich, I think that's why you see such a paradigm shift among Democrats, especially working class Democrats, abandoning the party and coming to Trump. And you sent me this video from Caroline Leavitt on Twitter, now X, of Trump being greeted at 6:30 in the morning by union workers. And it's powerful. Yeah. I want to play that video for our audience of what it was, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
Donald Trump's surprise visit to a construction site. Hundreds of cheering union members turned out to meet the former president, who's quite a scene.
These are hardworking New Yorkers, okay, union members who have been working on this big construction site here in Midtown Manhattan near Trump Tower.
USA! I think these maybe were Democrats, but for me, they're a Republican. We built a lot of great buildings in this city with these people. And they've given me great support. They're very, very talented people. They don't get the credit for it. They have very few people can do what they do.
These union workers who are here to talk to the president are paying the price of failed economic policies currently in the country.
And you heard in New York City chants of "We want Trump."
We love Trump. We love Trump.
A lot of people are talking about how unusual it is to see so many Trump supporters in Manhattan at 4, 5, 6 in the morning. Does that surprise you?
No, absolutely not.
President Trump is leading Joe Biden 3-1 on my presidential poll out of my 9,000 members.
Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
F*** you. We're a very patriotic.
I was wondering if you were gonna let that ride.
I had to end it right there, because exactly. I mean, I feel like that's how so many Americans feel right now, Rich. And you look at the Democrats, see 42% of Democrats support mass deportations. I think it's because the Democrats used to be the party of the working class. They used to understand that immigration undercuts union labor. They don't care anymore.
I know some folks out in Massachusetts, too, where it's working class white Democrats have been for years, you know, forever. There are neighborhoods outside of Boston, you know, that are conservative, of course. But I'm talking about Democrat, white, working class. Massachusetts is still a very white state. Of course, it's gotten more liberal because it's gotten more educated. But a lot of those educated transplants have moved over to New Hampshire. This stood out to me because I know these people. These are my people. Those are my people. Like they loved Bush after 9/11 for a minute, and then, you know, went back to being Democrats. And Bush actually thought he had a good shot with these voters because his approval rating was so high after 9/11. And he thought that it was a unique opportunity to appeal to them. It didn't happen. He got a little bit closer in New Jersey than most Republicans could, but it just didn't happen. And now to see that today is very, very different. I mean, Sean, those are not Republican voters. Those are not. I mean, there are, of course, Republican neighborhoods in the five boroughs outside the borough, really bordering. There are Republican areas in Long Island and Staten Island. That's not what we're talking about here. You know, these are that's a big deal, brother. I mean, there's a reason the Siena College poll is Biden plus 9, Biden plus 10. And that's a poll, longstanding poll in New York. That state is going to be closer. And can he carry it? Nah, you know, no, I don't think he can. But it doesn't matter. I would still, if it was me, I'd still campaign there. Look at how they came out the show. That was, are people aware how early that was in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there getting their coffee. They believe me, they're slow to get into work. That's how it is. You don't want to work too fast. All right. You're making me look bad. Slow down, young man. You know, that's the way they are. They're great people. They are. They're great. They're wonderful people. But they're not the kind of guys who would jump up and join a politician at 6:30 in the morning. They don't give a damn. They're listening to Q104.3 classic rock. All right. I'm telling you, I know. Or if they're on the other side of the river, maybe they got 101.5 going on, listening to those two idiots. I mean, that's what they do. And they, you know, eat their sausage, egg and cheeses before, have their coffee. And they don't go out to the road, man, and do that stuff. They don't do that stuff. All right. So it is a big deal for people who think that was, you know, some put on show. Think again, because I'm telling you, these guys don't do that stuff. And I don't know, Joe Biden, this is a problem he can't get over. It's like he pushed just a little bit too far. You know, I mean, to you and I, it's a lot too far. But I'm saying for the average normal person who's hurting, really cares about getting back to the business of the country, he promised them that, John. That's mm-hmm. what he promised them. He promised them a return to normal, a return to decency. Things are going to get back, going to get better again. I'm going to shut down the virus, not the economy. We're not going to start any new wars. He's a madman who's not there for our allies. I mean, you remember the story. All of it was a total lie. And those guys, you can't BS. They got BS meters that go off a mile away.
Man, Rich, I'm so grateful that you came on today. And I'm also grateful that you entertained the battle crew while I got bumped off. You just kept rolling, man.
I'll freewheel it for a little bit, you know, whatever.
I appreciate you rolling with the punches, man. We're working on getting this figured out. But in the meantime, tell us all where we can find you and how we can support you.
Yeah, I'm everywhere. But the best place, Sean, is on Locals, peoplespundit.locals.com. peoplespundit.locals.com.
All right, man. Thanks, Rich. Thanks for coming on. We'll see you next week, brother. Take care.
All the best, my man.
All right. See you, Rich. That was Savage Rich Barris, the best pollster in the business. And I'm very grateful that he took the reins of the show while we're experiencing technical difficulties, but that's what friends do. We have each other's backs, especially when times are rough. All right, before we pop smoke today, let me thank Bulldog Patriot and let me thank Tatone. Very, very Tatone says, when's the Biden regime gonna lock up Savage Rich for insurrecting the battleground stream? So thank you both for your Rumble Rants tips. 100% of that goes to building this studio. And I might just invest in something to help upgrade my internet. Although I pay for the fastest internet here, it's a wired connection. I've done everything that I can. 845 cyber attacks over the last 45 days on my router. It's crazy. What they do is they hit the router with a bunch of simple attacks. Firewall is in the router itself, meant to protect the router from attacks and stability issues. But the fact that it gets so many attacks overwhelms the router and it shuts it down to keep it safe or whatever. So I'm working on the cable company right now to figure this out, but thank you all for being so patient with me. I'm so, so grateful. Make sure that you hit that little green thumb, that like button beneath the video, that little green thumb, you hit it. It helps me immensely. It helps the show immensely. It propels us to the leaderboard. It's free for you and it's awesome for me. So smash that little green thumb. Tell your family and your friends to subscribe to Battleground Live. I've been watching this show grow and it's been awesome to have you here. We need you in the trenches fighting to save this country. And by the way, fighting to keep our own party, the Republicans, hold their feet to the fire and hold them accountable as well, because they are they have been an unbelievable disappointment since Trump left office. And that's part of the reason why we need him back in office. We need his leadership. We need him steering the ship. He sets the tone for the Republican Party. As I said during the show, it's a culture problem. If it's a leadership problem. He needs to set the tone and have it trickle down to the rest of the party, because they have serious, serious backbone issues, folks. And we need him now more than ever. And we need you here on this show with us amongst the Battle Cruise. So tell your family, some friends, subscribe to Battleground Live. Also, Official Sean Parnell, that's my website. You see this shirt right here? That's Pups McGee. Right here it says Republican. You can get all those shirts from the Battleground Apparel Company, which is an American apparel company for folks who believe in American exceptionalism. But anyways, folks, got a great show planned for you tomorrow. I really do. It's going to be great. In the meantime, God bless you all, and God bless this amazing, exceptional country that we call home. Take care, good night, and I will see you tomorrow. Take care.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.